think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So here's what's going to happen on Wednesday, April 10th. They are going to bring over the articles of impeachment and the House impeachment managers. These are the House members who serve as prosecutors to the case. They will be marched over kind of an entourage across the Capitol Rotunda to the Senate. And the Senate Sergeant at Arms, Karen Gibson, she will announce the following. She will say all persons are commanded to keep silence on pain of imprisonment. Now, we just got a comment from the office of the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. He indicates that this is going to be probably at least a two-day trial because they will not swear in the senators as jurors until the next day. So that would be Thursday the 11th. And at that point, they can then move to dismiss.
They could move to dismiss. This is exactly what I was discussing in our commentary that's been running today when I noticed and pointed out that the articles of impeachment have been delivered. But there are a lot of options for Schumer. And that's one of them, to just simply push it aside and say, you know what, we're just going to give it to a committee, let them kill it slowly, slowly throttle it to death, or we'll just take a quick vote and dismiss it. And how likely is that? Very, very likely. Let's break it down for you. First of all, glad to have you with us. Here we are on Good Friday, March the 29th. And this is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back for you. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. If you miss any part of any program, you can always pull up a podcast, audio and or video, at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. And I remind you, we are streaming video when we're on the air. That's available at News Talk STL Rumble. That's one of the main platforms. Or News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter. And again, also on Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. You take your choice, whichever one you want. Listen in full when you can. Maybe you can't stay all the time right now, but you can come back and pick something up. Or you want to share it with someone else. I strongly encourage that. We're going to need literally all hands on deck going into this election coming up. And for those who think it's already decided that it's all in Trump's hands and there's nothing to worry about, do not take that approach. Even if it were, and there's no way that Joe Biden can beat him, we still need to have votes for congressmen and senators that will change the makeup of Congress. We need Republicans, conservatives, even independents, or Democrats who think like them, inside the House. We cannot have a House that just wants to spend money left and right, and they're not going to pay attention to the final line or where it's going to be. We're at $34 trillion right now, $34 trillion. And Zelensky is wanting more money for Ukraine. And Biden's wanting to spend more money for this and more money for that and more money for that. Got the U.S. Treasury, just print it out. But at some point, as you well know by your personal life, bills do come due. And the interest piles on. And at some point, you either pay up or you're going to start forfeiting something. Do you want to forfeit your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren's future? That's the question. So you need to have control of the House, and you need to have control of the Senate. So when something comes through the House, you can get the Senate to go along with it, and vice versa. But we need like minds. When Barack Obama first became president, he did have both houses. They won Democrats because of his big sweep, partly because of his race, but you know, also in some of his ideas. And I will stress again, if you voted against Obama because of his race, you were wrong. You should not make your decision based on that, nor on gender. If you voted against Hillary because she's a female, you're wrong. You vote on the policies. or what they will bring, or you fear they will bring. And for those who voted for Obama simply because he was black, you were wrong also. Or those who voted for Hillary just because she was a woman, they were wrong. And a perfect case erupted right in the state of Missouri, because Claire McCaskill at that time was in a Senate race against Todd Aiken, the conservative Republican. Then Todd Aiken made some remark that really got turned upside down, twisted, and as I interviewed him later on TV, the first time he made an appearance after he had to step out of the race because everything was going south, he'd made a remark about abortion and just almost equivalent to the fact that, you know, if the woman enjoys rape, is it rape? He didn't say that, but I mean, for a lot of people, they put it in the same context. And I remember the question I started with. So tell me how you, basically, as we say in the South, you stepped in it. And from then on, he admitted he made big mistakes. And here's where the difference was between Hillary and Aiken. I mean, between McCaskill and Aiken. She was expected to win. She had served as the chair for Missouri when it came to the Obama campaign. She stepped up and served a leadership role to help get him elected and carry Missouri. And a lot of women who supported Claire McCaskill were infumed that she would vote for not a black man and support not a black man, but a man instead of a woman. And they basically delivered a message to her, if you do not change, we're not going to be there for you next time around. And they had abandoned her. In fact, that's one of the interview questions I raised with Obama on that last White House visit, the last in forever, I imagine. And I asked, she served as your campaign manager in Missouri. She paid a high price for it. She, at that time, was still in a very tight race for Todd Aiken for that position. Are you going to come down and help her? She helped you. You're going to help her. His answer, very noncommittal, stating, Claire's a good senator for Missouri. In other words, no way in hell am I going down there to help her out. I did not ask it at the behest of her or her campaign, but I thought that I knew they were sweating it, what's going to happen, so I thought, why not raise it? You know, I raise questions for all sides, trying to get a full understanding of things, and for the audience to have a better understanding, but when it came down to this one, just was not going to work. Now, the impeachment issue, as I pointed out, and I've been running a commentary today on it. Senator Mike Johnson, the House Speaker from Louisiana, and then along with the other members who signed off on it, sent this impeachment over to Chuck Schumer. The other signing on, by the way, Homeland Security Secretary Committee, Security Committee Chair, Mark Green, a Republican, Tennessee, and House Foreign Affairs Committee Chair, Michael McCaul of Texas. And they said that we're accusing Mayorkas of high crimes and misdemeanors, including willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law and its breach of public trust. They say the evidence of both charges is clear, comprehensive, compelling, and the House solemn act to impeach the first sitting cabinet officer in American history. Yes, there was another cabinet officer impeached back in the 1800s, but he had already left. So he was being impeached after he left office. Bribery-type scandal. But the first sitting cabinet officer in American history demands timely action by the Senate. Timely action. Now, again, an impeachment by the House, the same as it was with Trump, is just an indictment. It's like a grand jury. You present enough evidence to convince them this guy should stand trial. That's what they've done here. So now the trial has to be held in the Senate. That is the jury. And to convict and win an impeachment, you've got to have clear evidence is going to carry enough of them, because you'll need two-thirds of the Senate. So they'd have to have Republicans step up and all the Democrats, or at least all the Republicans and some of the Democrats, to convict Mayorkas and remove him. And as I pointed out earlier today in our commentary, if you'd heard it, it bears repeating. Both sides are pointing to the Constitution and say, here's our basis. Where's our basis? Johnson, in his statement about releasing the letter, said, if Schumer, House Majority Leader, cares about the Constitution and ending the devastation caused by Biden's border catastrophe, he will quickly schedule a full public trial, hear the arguments put forth by our impeachment managers. Now, keep in mind, this was a narrow vote because they had tried an earlier vote on the House floor and actually failed 214-216. Then on Feb 13, they did impeach him 214-213. Three House Republicans joined the Democrats in voting against the charges. That'd be Congressman Buck of Colorado, who left last Friday, was his last day. He said, I'm out of here. So there's a vacancy to be filled. Mike Gallagher, Wisconsin, who says he's going to leave sometime soon here in April, will leave his constituency without representation. And then you got Tom McClintock, Republican, California. The response from Mayorkas, he issued in a statement from the Department of Homeland Security stating, how, as I said, both their sides are pointing to the Constitution. This is my Constitution, and this is how I can use it. The statement, House Republicans will be remembered by history for trampling on the Constitution for political gain. The border's been open for political gain. We all know that. But so it goes. One issue that continues to divide Republicans, this even divides some Trump supporters from other Trump supporters. Abortion. And Federalist senior editor Molly Hemingway says the Democrats play this game exceptionally well.
The Democrat strategy for 2024 seems to be basically lawfare against President Trump and a focus on abortion. They have found those issues work very well for ginning up excitement in their base. And so you saw a lot of attention paid to this Supreme Court oral argument today, which deals with whether the FDA behaved in an improper fashion by removing any safeguards related to an abortion drug that does have quite a few serious consequences. So they're kind of ramping up discussion of that in the hopes that it will gin up excitement.
Yeah, they want to gin up some excitement, and she's saying clearly if the Democrats can do that, then they'll maybe get a lot more people in. They've already know that that's kind of what stopped the so-called tsunami that was expected at midterm. Roe v. Wade was a good almost couple of months or so before that midterm election, maybe not quite that long. But everybody thought, well, by then it'd be kind of down and out and be put aside. And you know, by the way, to that point, remember the leak about Roe v. Wade decision coming, the Dobbs decision? It was never proven who leaked it. It's a very finite number of people to select from. The justices and their immediate aides and some others who might have had access, a very small thing. This is not trying to find a needle in a haystack, but it's never been officially declared by anyone. And there was no inside investigation. Democrats are claiming it was Justice Alito that let it out early. For the purpose, I guess, to maybe soften the impact when it came, or to garner support that hold fast, do not move, because the onslaught will begin immediately. And it did. Now, the other thing that Hemingway points out, when you get down to looking at the issue of abortion and how it's being played, let me give you this survey that has just come out in a Fox News survey. And it says that support for abortion rights. Now, when you say abortion rights, again, here's where delineation is for some people. Maybe some will say I'm for abortion, but not at the time of delivery or even after delivery. And I'm not in favor of abortion within a month or so of delivery. So even Democrats are divided like that. And some of those same dividing lines exist between Republicans, no abortion under any circumstance. Others say no abortion with these exceptions. But this poll showed that the support for abortion rights has increased by double digits since early 22. That would be just before the Supreme Court decision removed federal protection for abortion procedures. In 2022, they have a 59% figure, is a significant increase from the low they showed in 2022 of 44%. So in 44%, there was support for abortion rights, but now it's up to 59%. And it's gone up in almost every demographic, including those considered most critical of abortion rights. A 16% increase among those 65 or older, 12% rise among conservatives. Did I not tell you there's division even inside that count? 11% increase among registered Republicans, a 10% increase among white evangelical Christians. Abortion within some limits. Now, are they doing it because they believe you've got to give some ground to keep the main issue, or are they giving it because they actually believe it? It doesn't break that out. But about five times as many in this Fox survey said abortion should always be legal, a total of 35%, as those who said it should never be legal, only 7%. It is a rallying issue for both sides. But as you just heard Molly Hemingway say of the Federalist senior editor in a Fox interview that, or a Federalist interview actually, said that the Democrats know how to play the game. Now the ball is in the Republican court.
Republicans have not done a very good job of talking about the issue. Democrats talk about it all the time. Republicans kind of stay silent. And new polling that's just out today shows that when single women are talked to about abortion, particularly the extreme nature of the Democrat position, which is abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy with no restrictions, they are very receptive to that message. So Republicans, they should be aware that this is a big issue for Democrats and that they need to think about how to talk about it. In the Republican Party, they have married men voting for them. They have married women voting for them. They have single men voting for them. The one block that they don't have are unmarried women. And so they really need to learn how to talk about this issue. It's a very important issue for a lot of Americans, and they cannot do what they did in previous years of just staying silent.
We might do that. Now, before we wrap up this hour, I want to tell you about a new survey concerning you and your car and listening to this station. Very interesting survey. I'll have that for you coming up. In the next hour, how a black woman on The View labels a black author as a pawn of conservatives. That's next hour. But Democrats, of course, have their own issues, and that would be starting and maybe ending with Joe Biden. I'd like to expose you to a variety of views on this program from various sources, sources you might not find elsewhere, you don't really get. I like to do that. So Trump versus Biden, as seen through the eyes of ESPN analyst Stephen A. Smith. If you follow ESPN News at all, you know who Stephen A. Smith is. Very opinionated. I think it's worth listening to. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, if the economy stupid, we should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm going on a way to duck on carry, make camp where the land is bare. I'm going on a way to duck on carry, ain't no one gonna find me there. Ain't no one gonna find me there. Found trouble in the town I come from, left 6 months ago or so. I had to run from the man I wronged there.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Would you vote Biden? Would you vote Trump? Would you vote third party? Or are you so frustrated you just throw up your hands, which unfortunately I think a lot of people are going to be, and just wouldn't even bother to show up because you don't think it's going to matter?
As a black man, I would never throw away my vote. People died to fight for the rights for us to vote. I would never disrespect my descendants by doing something like that. You know, people made tremendous sacrifices with their lives for us to have the right to vote. And I'm definitely going to, you know, Voting Rights Act kicks in 1965. I mean, hell, we did this 1965 for crying out loud. We go through all of that, then you're not going to vote. I think that's shameful. And I think that's irresponsible. And I think that it's important to recognize that the biggest conduit for change is your vote.
Amen and amen. But it's not limited to just the black vote. It's for the Americans, for your vote. In other countries, your vote might not really mean anything. I know many right now believe my vote means nothing. But do not sit home and then later complain that things are going the wrong way. I will not accept that, nor should you. Stephen A. Smith was doing an interview on a podcast with the host, Patrick Bet David. And he also admitted, I'm actually ashamed of the Democrat Party, and complained about the lawfare they're waging against Trump. He's acknowledging all you're doing is trying to persecute the man. Everybody sees it. It doesn't look good. On that podcast, he said, what's all the lawfare about? Then was complaining that Democrats can't beat Trump in a traditional election. This is Stephen A. Smith. He is not a Trumpite. Not necessarily for Biden either, but let me read a couple of quotes. He said, one charge after another. You got Letitia James. You got the folks in Georgia with Fannie Willis and others. You got, you know, the Mar-a-Lago situation. You got, I mean, we're really, really going to have a trial about hush money paid to a former porn star. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing now. I like that approach. Whether or not you think Trump mishandled some things, to continue to battle on that level, does that really raise the standing of your party or your candidate? I don't think so. Smith is a Democrat. He has been a vocal critic of Trump, and also slamming his own party, the Democrat Party, for not being able to take a chunk out of Trump, who is now again the presumptive GOP nominee. He said, marveling, he said, look, reference this lawfare. I'm like, are you kidding me? Don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating that anybody should be above the law at any time. What I am saying, he's the president of the United States, the former president of the United States. You talk to us about Russian collusion. You talk to us about a bevy of things over the years. Man is still running. But he also had some praise for Donald Trump.
I'm not as down on all of Trump's policies as people are. There are some good things he's done. I'm from an HBCU. I know that he did things for HBCUs. I know that the economy was flourishing. We can act like we don't know that, but damn it, it's true. Now, here's where I'm going. I am in no way saying that me, myself, supports this move. But what makes sense, if you are a flaming liberal, what makes sense is that Biden bows out and Gavin Newsom takes the mantle and runs for the presidency against whoever the Republican nominee is. It presumably is Trump, but 91 counts against you, you know, four different charges, 91 counts. What if he gets convicted? What will happen then? Nikki Haley gaining some momentum, Ron DeSantis gaining some momentum. Christie's still alive. I understand it's a big deal. I get where you're coming from with all of that. But what I would tell you is at the end of the day, this is what it comes down to. In the end, it would be, to me, Trump versus Gavin Newsom.
Huh. Well, it could be that way. And again, Stephen A. Smith is ESPN commentator. And he's always been, you know, commenting. And I'm not going to use the term shooting his mouth off. You could say the same about me, but he's entitled. And that's his job as a commentator. He's not claiming to be preaching and teaching ethical journalism. That does not distract from what he's saying. I've never been a great fan of his, but I appreciate the way he's shooting straightforward here. He mentioned, he said, you can't always be down on Trump. Look what he did for the HBCUs. He said, I'm a product of that. He's referring to historically black universities. Stephen A. Smith was born in the Bronx, raised in a section of Queens. He actually attended the Fashion Institute of Technology for 1 year. That's one thing I would like to say. I said, Stephen, what were you thinking about going into fashion? That's another day. We'll get into that rabbit hole some other time. He did get a basketball scholarship to Wisconsin-Salem State University. That is an HBU, an historically black university, in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And in college, he played basketball, under Hall of Fame coach Clarence Gaines. While still on the team, this is how he was already beginning to cut his mark, saying, I'm going to tell you what I think, whether you want to know it or not. While he was still on the team, he wrote a column for the university newspaper, arguing that Coach Gaines should retire due to his health. That's pretty brazen, right? Steven, you're benched the rest of the season. He ended up graduating, by the way, with a bachelor of degree in mass communication. So he's paid his dues. He's earned his stripes. Began his print career early with the Winston-Salem Journal, Greensboro News and Record, and the New York Daily News. Then later got a position as a writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, reporting primarily as a sports columnist, NBA columnist, on the 76ers. So again, the man has credentials to say what he wants, and we often sell, especially when it comes to Hollywood elites or so forth, stay in your lane. We like what you do, but your politics stink. Perfect example for me, Bette Midler, an amazing, entertaining woman. But boy, when she starts spouting politics, I didn't want to walk away, and I do. But here's something he warned, that if Trump is elected.
When I look at Trump, here's where I think that all of his supporters should take something into consideration. I think that he's so divisive that he could potentially cause civil war in this country. That's my concern about him. What I would ask the Republicans is this. Somebody like DeSantis would vote right along how he'd vote. They try to implement policies just like he's implementing it. Nikki Haley as well. I mean, what are you talking about? They would do the things that Trump does. They would just do it with considerably more decorum and, dare I say, decency, as opposed to being so divisive where you ultimately cause civil war in this country. On the other hand, there's Biden. And there are a lot of people with the Democratic Party that I won't give their names, but they've made sure to contact me because they didn't like the fact that I said this, Clay. We need a new president. The man is going to be 82 years of age in the year 2024. There's no way around it. We need to stop.
Very direct. And yeah, they don't like hearing that. James Carville, political analyst, also said the same thing. Biden should get out of the way. Now, I don't buy his argument that Trump would lead to civil war, and I do think that's the kind of thing that will certainly catch fire with some. Oh, I mean, he's going to destroy democracy, going to have civil war. I was getting calls to the station 4 or 5 years ago when I was on the air, people asking, you think Trump will cause civil war? Are we there yet? And I said, no. Well, you keep preaching and talking, and you're going to have some of it break out. Once again, back to Stephen A. Smith on the failings of Joe Biden.
But you got to show the ability not just to be competent and cogent, alert and vibrant. Okay, these things come into play. But the ability to show, to display, there's no reason to doubt that you'll be this way for the next 4 years. And you cannot tell me that that's what he's showing us. It's just a fact. And nobody wants me to say it. I can't even tell you, especially folks in the black police. They say, what the hell? You don't know what you're talking about. Why would you say this? Blah, 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 blah. I said, because he's losing. It's one thing if he's winning. Because I do think he would be less harmful than Trump in terms of just keeping us whole as a society, per se. I'm not talking policy, Clay. I'm not talking policy because it depends on what your taste is, whatever. You know, me, I could go both ways because I'm going to have more money in my pocket with Trump. I'm going to have more money in my pocket with Trump. Okay. But of course, there's some other things that may not work to my advantage. And I get all of that. But when I'm thinking about Biden, you have to show that ability. You haven't been. There has been flagrant slippage. And in my perfect world, it would be nice if Kamala Harris showed up and had more of an impact. That has not been the case.
Has not been the case. You hear him keep referring to Clay because there are two different interviews I was pulling from. That was, of course, a reference to the talk show host Clay. And I'm looking at this other was again from the podcast. When he got asked at one point in the end about, well, do you think the Democrat Party can do something right after you finish rebuking them? He said, it's a fair question. Hard to figure out.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, we are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation. I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
president Xi is really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Boom, 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 boom. Gotta shoot your eye down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, in addition to Stephen A. Smith calling out Trump and saying, you know, that he should not be the winner, although he might well be, you also have Bill Maher, who's been more leaning toward the center than far left, as he used to be, because he's acknowledging facts. But he also is saying in an interview he just did, I will do everything I can to make sure Trump is not reelected in 2024. He was talking to Variety publication. He said, what I've decided to do is not preemptively give up my nervous system to Donald Trump like I did last time, or maybe the last two times. If he wins, he wins. I'll do everything I can to make sure that doesn't happen. But none of us have much influence. Well, of course, there are those who say, well, yeah, they do. They get in there and mess with the polls and the voting. I played yesterday, in case you missed it, part of the 60 Minutes interview, Leslie Stahl, talking about how the major social media companies, Facebook, Twitter, and so forth, were all in together on defeating Trump. And anything he said, they would knock, and if you were also a COVID concerned person in writing about ivermectin, they'd pull you off. In other words, they were having a lot of effect. But beyond that, getting into the actual voting, did they have any act in changing votes, making things appear different than what they were? We know that Sidney Powell and others, and she ended up being found guilty and is facing a multi-million dollar judgment, as is Rudy Giuliani, by the the Dominion voting system, claiming that we did everything right and you're trying to claim we didn't. Well, do you really believe the last election was free of any kind of fraud? I don't. Does that mean there was enough that could have swayed the election for Biden? I don't know. I do know from the very beginning, as I've said, from the very beginning, before a single vote was cast, the FBI had a hand in directing the election, in the sense that they knew the FBI had the Hunter Biden laptop for months. Then they realized the New York Post had it and was going to start publishing some of it. And so they put the word out, hey, don't be running that stuff. Not even to the big tech companies, to the print companies, New York Times and so forth, the standards they go to. To say, hey, carry the water here for us, will you? Sure. They told them, don't touch that story. It's more Russian collusion. So from the beginning, before a single vote was cast, they were already shutting down information the voters entitled to have. Some have said if they'd known it, they would have changed their vote or would not have voted for Biden. That's what they say. But Bill Maher is talking about exactly that point. He has been a prominent anti-Trump voice since Trump first won. But he's also been critical of radical leftism, wokeness, and censorship in the Democrat Party. But he's also said, I'm not about to convert to the right. He said the country is so polarized, it's like a prison yard. You're either one team or the other. Everybody says they want to be in the middle, but they really just go to their corners. And he did say, you know, if Trump beats Biden, he'll probably blow up the world or put me in Guantanamo Bay or somewhere. Well, he's a mix of a opinion columnist and funny guy, he thinks. So he got a laugh out of his audience. The polls we were talking about earlier as to how bad it could be looking when it comes to abortion, even for Republicans, the polls are not good for Joe Biden on any level. And in fact, he's often complained in rooms full of donors, I'm not getting good coverage on the polls, man. Man, come on, man. They're not giving me a good thing. It's not right, you know? The White House and Biden campaign saying it's too far out from Election Day to rely on the polls. Now, that I will agree with. But then adding, the president's already shown he's annoyed with how the press has handled surveys. During a campaign stop earlier this week in Raleigh, North Carolina, he said, while we probably haven't read a lot about it in the last few days, there have been several national polls showing us leaning now. He did get some positive polls this week. Let's be honest about it. A Quinnipiac University survey found Wednesday, Biden polling at 48%, Trump at 45%. When the question was included to exclude independent, or rather to include independent and third-party candidates, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Cornel West, Jill Stein. With all them in the mix, Trump barely pulls ahead of Biden, 39% to 38%. Then you have the Bloomberg Morning Consult poll we told you about the other day, found Biden trailing Trump among all voters in seven battleground states, but narrowing the gap in the so-called blue state series, swing states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. So it's like all polls, plus minus. And the Democrat Party is correct, the same thing I've told you. The only poll that counts is polling day, when you actually go to the polls. And we are a long ways out. A lot of things can happen. It could well be. I do not wish President Biden ill. But it could be he's not even, quote, literally standing at that point. Then what will they do? Maybe that's why Gavin Newsom is hovering nearby. We know Kamala's trying to make herself more relevant. I'm looking at a piece, the aggregation of all these polls from, according to The Hill, which is a publication covering Congress and D.C., and their decision desk headquarters, averaging 600 polls, more than 600, Trump leads Biden by 0.9%. So that's what he's talking about, that there have been some good things for me you're not hearing about. Well, I'm going to give you everything, which includes what Democrat strategist James Carville says about independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. entering the race. Carville said just yesterday, I actually think Bobby Kennedy, he's talking again about Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I actually think Bobby Kennedy might hurt Trump more. Well, Trump and the allies he has around him welcome the fact that Kennedy's getting in, suggesting he will probably pull votes from Biden in a general election. Trump even put up a post on his Truth Social, which is public now, by the way, if you want to know it and buy it. I don't know what the latest dollar amount is. I think it's originally priced at 36, jumped to 78, then settled somewhere around 70 or lower. I haven't looked at it since. But on his Truth Social account, he noted, Kennedy is a radical left Democrat and always will be. It's great for MAGA, but the communists will make it very hard for him to get on the ballot. And even James Carville did have to admit other third-party candidates could be more problematic for Biden. He said, I think there's a certain percentage of our people that are just like, just F the whole thing. Well, that's contrary to what we were hearing earlier from Stephen A. Smith, which I certainly agree with. It's your vote is too critical. And not just blacks have paid for the right to vote. Whites have, too. And the very fact that we have fought for freedom, period. This is a right you have. I do pray that you make good use of it. And by good use, I mean simply the fact that you do go vote, not sit home. So coming up, how a black woman on The View suddenly decided to lay one attack a black author, saying he's a pawn of the conservatives, when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Your argument for color blindness, I think, is something that the right has co-opted. And so many in the black community, if I'm being honest with you, because I want to be, believe that you are being used as a pawn by the right and that you're a charlatan of sorts.
You're not a Republican.
So how do you...
You've
said that you're a conservative.
No, you did.
You actually said that podcast that you did 2 weeks ago.
I said I was a conservative.
Yes, you did. So, but my question to you, is how do you respond to those critics?
Well, let's take a moment to set the stage for you. You're listening to Sunny Holston, black woman who's a host of, one of the hosts of The View. And she's on the attack against author and podcast host Coleman Hughes, being used as a pawn of the right. He was there to discuss his book, ironically titled The End of Race Politics, Arguments for a Colorblind America. And he argues everyone should try their very best, and I quote, to treat people without regard to race. Absolutely. And I know I've shared with you in the past that I actually, naively, thought in my late teens, early 20s, that 10, 15 years would be past it. No, we're not. And then when I got into my 30s, well, soon we'll get past it. No, we're not. And I have to admit, with each passing day, I see sometimes we're getting farther, mainly because of folks who just want to keep it alive, and they're making money on it. Listen, I as you well know, I play poker. Yep, I do. That's one of my addictions. Not an addiction, but is not gambling in my view. It's poker. And you sit down at a table, there's a mix of all kinds of people. And probably political views, although we seldom get into discussing politics at the poker table. And then sports. You look around at sports. You look at music. If you're always seeing someone and saying, well, that's a black person, or that's an Asian person, I mean, why? If you saw another white person, would you say, well, that's a white person? We need to get to that simple view of life. We're all God's children. But again, you have Sonny Holston deciding, okay, I'm going to go after him because he's written this, and they basically suggesting he's a pawn of the right. Let's pick it up again, please.
My question to you is, how do you respond to those critics?
I don't think I've been co-opted by anyone. I've only voted twice, both for Democrats. Mm-hmm. Although I'm an independent, I would vote for a Republican, mm-hmm. probably a non-Trump Republican if they were compelling. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any evidence I've been co-opted by anyone, and I think that that's an ad hominem tactic people use to not address really the important conversations we're having here. And I think it's better, and it would be better for everyone if we stuck to the topics.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Instead of pulling the race card again, even though his book deals with race, but also trying to find, let's don't make it an issue. He does also write for the Free Press, analyst on CNN and NN. And he said, no one is paying me to say what I'm saying. The reason I wrote this book is because in the past 10 years, it has become, in the name of anti-racism, to teach a kind of philosophy to our children in general that says, your race is everything. He said, I think that's the wrong way to fight racism, and that's why I wrote this book at this time. But again, she says, well, your determination and your thoughts are just flawed. In other words, she's locked down as a racist. And that surprised a lot of people. If I'm of a different color than you, how can I be racist? If you think you, because of your skin color, are better than anyone else, and those different are inferior, you're a racist. I told you I'd share with you what's happening with cars coming out on a new survey, Q Interactive, looking at 2024 vehicle reports. They are finding that 99% of new cars are equipped with Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. And they did the first of its kind survey of 100 best-selling vehicles in the U.S. and learn how they're equipped with AM and FM, HD radio, other infotainment. And we're seeing more and more people using the app on their phone, or maybe it's already built into the car, to listen to News Talk STL. I've told you repeatedly, you don't have to have a 100,000 blowtorch tower anymore to reach all over the world even. You can go anywhere in the world over the News Talk STL free app. Boom, we're right there with you. Or you can use it at the same time and pull up podcast. As always, I thank you for listening. Honor Good Friday. I wish you and your family a most blessed Easter. But we have a second hour coming up. So remember our pledge, one nation under God.